And welcome to another edition of Mike and Mike's Off-Air Podcast. Mike Pesto, Mike O'Neill. Do not forget on YouTube, like and subscribe. The more subscribers we get, we may have a big party at some point. Who knows? I have no idea.
And we're honored when you do that, very much so. And hey, before you get started, and I know you're, I can see you're about ready to go. So you brought something written down.
Just a couple of little notes, yeah.
That's a first for you. I just thought I'd write that down. But anyway, before you do, wow. My wife has always been, she is the maven of health at our house. I'm the one who wants to go out and get hot dogs. I'm the one who's ready for a 3x3. She's the one who has 4 or 5 different kinds of fruit and fruit bowls at our house and makes sure that we eat as well as we do. I eat pretty healthily most of the time, but I'm the one who's going to deviate from the norm and go, hey, hot dogs sound pretty good right about now. But looks like my wife was right about Lunchables.
Oh, yeah, I remember this broke last week.
One of my daughters has loved these things for life, and especially as a kid. But right now, Kraft Heinz, they're facing a class action lawsuit, which claims their Lunchables are basically a scrapyard of metals. In fact, in them, if this pans out, harmful levels of lead, cadmium, and phthalates, which basically are chemicals that make plastic more durable.
Yeah, if you can't spell it, you probably don't want to eat it.
Yeah, but gosh, I mean, in fact, phthalates make people more prone to type 2 diabetes and obesity. And man, they were so handy, though. It's just, thunk, there's your lunch. And you remember what those are, the Lunchables. They're like sort of pre-processed PB&Js or whatever.
My daughter's 12, so yes, I'm very familiar with Lunchables.
But can you imagine? I mean, if this happens, if they're able to prove this, this is going to be a big deal for Kraft Heinz.
They mentioned that the ones that are specifically available in school cafeterias, I think, if I remember correctly, and don't hold me to this, I mean, look it up, that they had half the amount of sodium the kids are supposed to have for a daily intake in just one Lunchable. That's half of the amount of sodium the kids are supposed to have.
That's wild. That's wild. Yeah, they're, God bless you. God bless you, Colleen. You were right, apparently. In fact, almost legally right. And Laura Laspisa is the one who's accusing Kraft of this. And, well, we'll have to see how it pans. We'll have to see how it pans out. But I was interested in what you thought about it.
Yeah, speaking of food, before we get into what I really want to talk about, I'm catching a little flack right now.
Because?
On something I posted on Instagram, then it went over to Facebook as well. I made pasta last night. Well, I didn't make. I mean, it was frozen from Costco. It was ravioli, lobster ravioli. If you've ever seen it there, it's actually pretty good. Follow the directions on the back as far as boiling it. I know from the past that you put the pasta in, the ravioli in. As soon as it floats to the surface, that means it's done. So I did all that, did a little bit of butter, a little bit of olive oil, just the way it was recommended. There was just enough left over that my wife handed me for lunch today. We've got this little system. I love our system, too, where I'll get the text from her if she remembers. Sometimes she's a little busy in the morning. And she'll say, lunch is served. And I know what that means. If I go to my trunk, lunch will be in the trunk. And I should go quickly because sometimes it's warm. If it's not, then I can just put it in the fridge and have it later. And it was the ravioli from last night.
So she'll just drive through, drop it off, and keep going.
Exactly.
I love that.
Quick little text, and it's like I have Uber Eats in my trunk. I've got a magic trunk every once in a while.
Yeah, you do. I want a trunk like that.
Well, here's the thing. In eating the pasta, there were like 2 or 3 ravioli left, and I couldn't help but notice there was a hair.
Oops.
Like right between 2 of the ravioli. And the first thing I thought of was, if this was a restaurant and it was my wife, I know she would have called the waiter over, pointed it out, not raise a big deal about it, but just say, hey, it's not mine. It's blonde or whatever that proves to her it wasn't one of her hairs that dropped in there. And at least she would have said, knowing me, I would have just, oh, hair. But thinking of her reaction to it, I did take a picture. and I posted it on Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, you went there first rather than to her first?
Now, what I didn't explain in the post is that I'm the one who actually boiled the ravioli last night. I prepared it for the kids. It was ready by the time she got home. She actually wanted to have a fresh salad instead. So the kids ate the ravioli, and I had the leftovers. So it, for all I know, it could have been one of my hairs. I don't know. But we have that type of relationship.
Yeah.
Would you ever, have you ever posted something like that, that you thought for a split second, maybe this may not be as well received by the person I'm kind of referencing? Or do you try to stay away from that on social media?
On social media, I have a rule with my wife. I have a rule with my wife, and I wasn't this way when we started, but I've learned this is the way I want to be. I have my wife's back, and I know you do too, so I'm not saying this suggesting that you don't, but I have my wife's back even if I think she's wrong, because I can apologize to you later. I want her to know that I have her back in all things. And so if it's just she and I, blonde hair, it's yours. If you would be a little more careful, I'd appreciate it. Going to social media first? No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't. Because I wasn't always as empathetic as I am now. I didn't always have her feelings first when I was younger. I like to think that I've learned a little bit of something, but I've seen how you guys kind of spar a little bit, and I've come to know that it's really not sparring at all. You're just having fun.
We have an incredibly playful relationship.
Yes.
Where we'll point out things about each other that are novelties, that are funny. It's almost like if we were to ever do stand-up comedy together. And I know it's been years and years since there's been a stand-up duo with a husband and wife, or at least a couple that have been. And back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, there were couples that would do that. Maybe we'll bring that back, because when we were at the Seroptimus International Visalia event a few months back, when I was emceeing the auction, Amy Schlecklian was there, who's a county board of supervisors. She's a member of the board. We were at her table with a couple other people, and just in the conversations my wife and I were kind of having with each other and commenting on some other conversations, people are like at the table, we need to have you two over and just entertain, because the dynamic between you two, it's like stand-up comedy.
Yeah, but this is something I've said to Colin before. We have a different way of going about it, but the thing, I've been married 32 years, or we've been together at least 32 years. And the thing I have done the most with her is laugh.
Okay.
That's the thing we've done the most. And however we got there, we got there. But that's the best part of the relationship. All the other stuff, yeah, that matters too. But the laughing. We are always cracking each other up, however we get there. And we're a little nicer about it now that we're older. But, you know, but every couple, you hit the nail on the head. Every couple has a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. It takes a moment. If somebody watches, they're like, they're not shooting at each other. They're shooting for each other, and it's just a scream. And that's the best part of it.
The more I think about it, I think it's something I brought my wife along for the ride on. And thinking about what she posts on social media, very, very, very little personal stuff.
Yeah.
She will post on there. She'll share a lot of things. It's not a lot of original content. With her, it's almost like my son's approach with Instagram. He doesn't post a lot, but he looks a lot. He takes in a lot. He just doesn't send as much out there. My wife's kind of the same way. And just want to make sure I get the record straight with the actual post that is on Instagram and Facebook. It's a picture of the pasta, the ravioli with the hair right there in the middle. What do you do when your wife brings you ravioli for lunch and you find a hair in your pasta? I mean, you can't exactly call the waiter over and have them bring it back to the kitchen. Now, my old morning show partner in Peoria was one of the first to comment on it, and it's actually got like 12 comments now. He said, why can't you? You didn't order the pasta with the hair in it. Now, here's where I had my wife's back a little bit. My comment back to him was, knowing her, assuming it actually is her hair, she would just say that it's angel hair pasta.
There you go.
So I'm saying my wife's an angel.
There you go. Nice. And again, she brought you the lunch.
Yeah.
Considering my 10-second rule is about an hour and a half, I probably wouldn't have been that upset about the hair in the final analysis.
Yeah, and again, because I'm the one who actually made it for the kids last night, it very well could have been my hair, for that matter. Something else I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
And I heard this on one of the other stations in our cluster with Momentum Broadcasting. And my daughter's brought this up as well, saying that one day she'll talk about her best friend so-and-so. And the next day she's talking about her best friend so-and-so.
This is your daughter?
Yes. Can you have more than one best of anything? Am I getting to that age now where I'm being overly critical of what language is, what words mean? You look up the word best, you can only have one best by definition. So I will get on my daughter on that. And other little language things every once in a while as well. When you say best, it kind of means you only got the one, unless you've changed who your best happens to be. How do you look at that?
You have to understand, Michael, what do we do for a living? We are wordsmiths.
Yeah.
It's what we do, and I take words very seriously. Using a minimum of words to say the most that I can has always been something that I've been kind of proud of. And my wife is, I love you, honey, the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
No one can say it with more words than Colleen, and that's fine, but that's just her. And she would be somebody that would say my other best friend.
Okay, well.
And I'd be like.
Well, that's a slippery slope then.
And then
at least you're recognizing its other best friend.
But when somebody says that, I'm like, best is best.
Yeah.
Second best, third best. I hate her. You know, enemy. My other best enemy. No. But yeah, I like to be very specific.
Mm-hmm.
My lovely wife with the two adjectives in every single sentence. It's big and huge. Wow, that's big, honey. Or whatever.
But. I won't ask what you were talking about in that conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, this is a podcast.
Probably my ego, and I'll leave it at that. Yeah, but no, I think I personally feel the way you do, but then my wife calls me Larry Literal all the time, so. You know, I might be too close to that, but no, I'm very specific with words. I try to say it with as few as possible so that you're not like, what did he say?
Yeah, whereas I say it sometimes on the air, especially with as many words as possible so that I can say it in 15 different ways. So one of those ways will speak to you personally, the other 14 or for 14 other people. Let me ask you something else as far as conversations with family members. This is something I've been meaning to talk about on the air. I haven't gotten to it yet.
Mm.
Asking a question, a very specific, direct question, and getting a completely different answer specifically from my wife. So what time are you coming home? Well, and then she'll go into an entire diatribe of what the last part of her day looked like. I just want to know what time you'll be home to know if I need to have dinner ready for you or if we should wait until you get home and we can prepare dinner together.
I swear we're married to the same woman. Colleen is, but to be clear, and not that I'm not ADHD, but I'm somewhat managed. She is not.
Uh-huh.
And all the time, I've been dying to call her. I'm going to call her with something. I'm going to call her with something. All right, good. Quick, I got you on the phone. What is for dinner tonight? Spaghetti. Hey, are we going over to Kelly's tonight? And we're going to clear in our apartment. And we're going to do this and the other thing and five other things on a list that she's been waiting for. And by the time we get to the end of the list, I don't remember what we're having for dinner. And I get it. And it's, my brain doesn't work that way.
Well, at least you got the answer up front, at least in the example that you gave. With my wife, it's literally, and we'll have fun. Again, the relationship that we have, and we've done this in front of other couples, I will, you know, as she gives the answer, I'm like, that's great, but now what question do I have to ask you to actually get the answer to the question I originally asked? Because apparently I asked the wrong one.
And one like this, a lot of times I will call home. Da-da-ding, da-da-ding, and she'll pick up the phone. hi, hey, are we going to... And by the time we get to the end of that conversation, I don't have a damn clue why I called anymore. I'm going to hang up now, and maybe hopefully I'll call you back if I ever think of this again, and goodbye, click. And that happens so often, I can't even tell you.
I can't recall that happening with us.
All the time.
So I guess I should count my blessings that she just doesn't answer the questions I ask.
All the time. All the time. And I'm 66 now. So, Michael, you are lucky if I know why I'm in the room right now anymore. I've forgotten a lot of stuff, but that'll happen. You know, hey, ding, phone ring. Hey, hi, hey, did you know that on the roof over here is the thing? There's a big stain up here. And I just cleaned the windows.
Now, why did you call?
No, I haven't even said hi yet. I'm like,
damn caller ID, her knowing who it is that's calling.
I'm out of here. Bye. So
maybe block the caller ID next time.
Yeah, right.
And that way she won't know it's you, so you can actually get in your thought first before you get bombarded with something else.
I'll get her company voice. Hi, who's this? Who the hell are you? No, but anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting having those relationships and having those dynamics with it. And I think because maybe you and I come from the background of sitting down and doing air checks with the program director and have them tell you word economy and work on this. And we know how – and then I don't always abide by it, but I know how to get to the point a little faster. I know what I'm listening for. The one thing I kind of pride myself on is when I've been privileged to have a morning show partner or whenever I'm on the air with someone else – I'm very good at listening. I love the fact that you and I have this podcast and listening to what you're saying, and even with the PSA shows that we do. I could have a whole list of things I want to talk about, but in the first 5 minutes, if I can tell something else is on their mind, they want to take it in a different direction, well, then throw that away. We're going to go where you want to go with this, and I'm not going to get myself nailed down to what I want this conversation to be.
Yeah, I mean, why work hard when you can work smart and let them do the job for you? Another conversational pet peeve you made me think of in the meantime is pointing. Colleen, do you know where my thing is? It's over there, and her arm's in my face. I refuse to do that. Uh-huh. Even at weddings, as the master of ceremonies.
Okay.
Standing in the middle of the dance floor. All right. Mike and Seska are now going to move away from their table and head over to the cake, which is directly to their left. So if you head directly to the left of the head table, you'll find where they'll be cutting the cake. Make your way over there. We'll cut the cake. First dance right back here on the dance floor. I haven't moved my left hand. I just always think that pointing is so ghetto.
See, you're not Italian. I'm half Italian. So I have to. I mean, if you ever take a tour of the station while I'm on the air from 6 till 10, I'm the one that if you gave me pom-poms, you swear I was a cheerleader. Because I can't – I mean, even when we have our podcast, I cannot talk. I mean, it's one of the things – and I've learned this recently that I have a tendency – I think when most people do a lot of public speaking is you tend to speed up your delivery because you get a little nervous.
Yes.
And you want to speed through it because the quicker you say it, the quicker you'll be done, you can stop and move on to the next song.
Yeah.
Using my hands kind of forces me to speak at the pace I want to speak at.
So that's why I
do it now. And as you're watching this on YouTube, first of all, thank you. Like and subscribe. And you can kind of see the different dynamics that Mike has when he's talking or what I have when I'm, again, cheerleading.
And which made me think of another one. Let us know if we're going too long. My son, who is special, it's everything I can do to get him to look at who he's talking to.
Okay.
Whether that's me or someone else. I work with him on that all the time. Colin will do that to me too. Like, who are you talking to? I'm over here. Hello? Hello? Okay. And I mean, Sean, I understand it with because he's just, his wound has just got him everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't look at me, it makes me wonder if you're really paying attention. And it takes me to, do I trust this person?
And also, in my wife's case, getting back to that dynamic, are you talking to me or are you just talking to yourself? More often than not, she's talking to herself, but I don't want to be rude. So if I hear a voice and I know it's my wife's, I'm sorry, honey, what do you say? Oh, no, I'm just talking to myself. Okay, no problem. Just checking in. Oh.
That's a subject for a whole other podcast. Ask my kids how I am at night when I'm all alone out there, narrating every single thing I'm doing, one thing after the next, like a nut, like an absolute crazy person. It just keeps me on task. But most of the time when I'm doing that, I think I'm alone until I find out I'm not.
Okay. And I've done this in the building at times, especially in the morning when it's typically Chad and I are the only ones here. Chad, who does the traffic reports for us every morning. I will be muttering something as I'm passing by where his cubicle is, thinking that he's in one of the studios about to do a traffic report. And I see that he's actually sitting there. And I will come up with some creative way that explains why I was just talking to myself. Or I'll think, okay, was that out loud? Okay, that was out loud. So now I got to cover it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's human nature, though. I'm really not nuts over here, I promise. I'm talking over here.
Or was I like, I'm kind of, man, I'll be talking about something I just did on the show, and then I'll walk him. Chad, what do you think about that? Like, I was leading up to the conversation the whole time. Like, I always knew he was there.
Without a... we're just humans, Michael. It's all right. It's all right.
Well, again, appreciate the fact that you listen to these online at my975fm.com. Would really appreciate it if you check out all the videos and the little, you know, teaser videos that we have on YouTube as well. Like and subscribe. That way, whenever a new video drops, you'll know about it. And we'll just keep these going for as long as you like.
And it looks like it's on me next.